it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Chicago, welcome into the Chicago Sports Podcast presented by Goose Island. Find one of their Chicago locations at gooseisland.com/locations. What's up, everyone? I'm Kevin Kaduk, head of content at CHGO. We've got a very special episode for you today. This is CHGO Ranks, the top 25 all-time Chicago athletes. We are trying to figure out who the 25 greatest all-time Chicago athletes are here at CHGO. We have polled 20 of our 20 coworkers, and on those ballots, 87 total athletes were mentioned. We came up with a consensus top 25, but there's some little weirdness in here. So we're going to show our work, and we are going to come to a consensus on the top 25 through this council of elders.
Whose idea was this? One of the toughest things we've ever had to do here at CHGO.
Not easy.
Joined today by Mark Carmen, Herb Lawrence, and Jay Zawoski. Lawrence Benedetto is behind the board. Guys, was this a really hard exercise for you?
Yeah, it was. I don't know, because it kind of, what I did, the way I did it, I don't know how you guys did it. I went organization by organization, and I did my top five or six or seven for each, and then I just kind of went from there. And it's interesting because if you're talking about just the player, maybe you put a guy ahead of somebody, but then you talk about cultural impact and meaning to the city, so maybe you slot them differently. There's a lot of ways this could have gone, but I'm pretty happy with the way my list turned out. Not 100%, but these things will never satisfy. You know, it's, every time you finish something like this, you're like, damn, I should have flipped this or flipped that or whatever. But I'm pretty content with mine.
I think so, too. Eventually, somebody will argue with me and my choices that I left off this guy, that girl, et cetera, et cetera. But these are the ones that I have conviction in, and we'll argue if some of my people should be making the list. But I think at the end of the day, I'm fine with the list that I put out there. And you can watch the board. You can see the great players that I have on there.
And we're going to get deep into it, but I basically did the same thing that, you know, Jay's teeing up. It's like, okay, who are the top Bulls, who are the top White Sox, who are the top Cubs, all of that. But then you get into, they won championships, this guy didn't, this dude at his peak was here. There's just a million different ways you can look at it. I tend to value how good were you at your peak. If it's, I'm not saying for a game or a season, but if it's like a three-year peak, like a guy like Gale Sayers versus somebody who played nine, but he's up here and that person's there. Those are always tough things. But I got to be honest, at the top, it was easy, right, for me and for everybody, you know, Mike and then Walter. But it was just to think about who's three.
Yeah.
Like, that was like, okay, I'm stuck already at three. I did not expect to have that roadblock. I just had never thought about it. Like, wow, three is a really difficult decision.
I took kind of like the same approach. And what I really went through was I just kind of looked at, okay, who are the Hall of Famers for each franchise? And kind of started from there. And then, okay, you have Hall of Famers from each franchise. Who are the guys who are in the upper crust of their respective Hall of Fames, right? So, like, obviously, Michael Jordan, Walter Payton are at the top of theirs. You have a whole bunch of Blackhawks who are either there at the top already or going to get there. Same thing with the Bears. So it was tough. I mean, I think with 25, there's still probably five that I feel not great about having on the other side of that, but I think that's part of the fun here. And you know, I think it's kind of hard to define, okay, what does all-time Chicago athlete mean? Because you know, like, it's, there's so many different factors. You know, to me, it's like a guy like Ernie Banks. Like, I think he gets extra points, or Mini Minoso, as being like the first black players in each organization,
right?
That should count. someone like Derrick Rose, who meant a lot to the city, does that mean, it could be such a, you know, a high school star, does that mean more? I don't know. I will be talking about all of this. One I did want to bring up with you before we get into it, let's just do a little fun mini debate here. Mm-hmm. Does Greg Maddux belong on the all-time list of Chicago athletes? Because he did not, the majority of his great career was with the Atlanta Braves, but he put up a lot of great numbers here, and it was at the front end of his career. We've seen guys come through at the back end, whether it's, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. or Manny Ramirez or Dwayne Wade on the Bulls. Greg Maddux did it on the front. So, Herb, does Greg Maddux belong on this list?
He does not, for me. The 10 years he spent as a Cub were not mid, but above average. I think his ERA plus is like 112. It's fine, not great. He went to 2 All-Star games as a Cub, but majority of his career, and the reason why people know Greg Maddux as the dominant great pitcher that he is his Braves career. In 92, you know, he was an All-Star, but also the whole debacle of them not re-signing him and him wanting to come back made him off of this list because he is a great, because he was an Atlanta Brave and won championships and one of the best right-handed pitchers of all time. That didn't show up necessarily in his 10 years as a Cub.
This one for me is actually personal because I remember it so well at the time because they signed Rhino a couple years prior and they gave him $7 million. And I'm sitting there like, you need to sign Maddux. You need to sign Maddux. You need to sign Maddux. And then he wanted, I think, $27.5 million or $28 left for the Braves and the Cubs offered $25. The Cubs have his number retired. You do not deserve to have his number retired. You blew it. So, henceforth, he doesn't belong on the list. His best years were in Atlanta, by far. It can't be argued. Yeah. So, I hate that he's not on here.
And it sucks because had the Cubs ponied up and made that, he is probably number 3 or higher on this list.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, he's interesting. I'd say he's easily 2.
Yeah. If he played his whole career as a Cub.
Wow. 300-game winner?
355.
How dare you, my friend?
Walter.
That is a tough Walter. One. Oh, great. Super tough.
I had Maddux on my list because he did have great years in Chicago, went to Atlanta, obviously had his better years, but then came back and was not just some – it wasn't a farewell tour for Greg Maddux. He still – he was not Atlanta Greg Maddux, but he still came in and was a really good part of that really solid rotation. I voted a little bit on my list with my heart.
Yeah,
when I wasn't sure if I wanted the guy in or not, I said, hey, like, look, there's a reason I moved Bobby Hull down the list because of voting with my heart. And I don't want to put a guy like that in the top echelon. I don't think he belongs there. You sort of earn that right. And I think Maddux, who wanted to stay here all along, was done wrong by the Cubs. And I do think the fact that his number's retired plays a factor, too. I think
that's
you're
a good
right,
point.
Carm, that the Cubs don't deserve to have that flag flying because they screwed it. But it the bottom line is it is there. And I do think when you talk to people not our age but maybe a little bit younger, they think of him as a Cub.
That's true.
For me, the bottom line was there's so much competition on there, and every one of these spots was. Okay, let's look at our friends at PHNX, right? I haven't seen their list yet. I don't know where it is. I bet you Randy Johnson is on that list, right? Randy Johnson, to me, is not an Arizona Diamondback, but the numbers he put up there are crazy, right? You know, Curt Schilling, Randy Johnson's probably not a – Curt Schilling's probably maybe a better example, right? Curt Schilling is probably more of a Philly or more of a Red Sox. But I bet you because of the lack of competition in Phoenix, Curt Schilling's on that.
And so, he won a championship with them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's pretty interesting debate. One thing that is not debatable, let's get into this right now, the top of our list. We are not going to debate this at all because there was no – really break in our voting. Michael Jordan was listed number 1 on all 20 of our ballots. Walter Payton was listed number 2 on 19 of our 20 ballots. Now Chris Pennant came up and said Gale Sayers was a little bit better than Walter Payton, and I've heard that argument maybe before, usually by people a little older than us. So you know,
Gale Sayers used to make that argument to us every Tuesday at Hoops on the Gale Sayers show.
No.
I was better than Walter.
I mean, I grew up in a family. I was an accident. Let me just get this out there fully. Let's go full. You know, my brothers are plus 15 and plus 20. They all grew up watching Gale. So I heard about Gale Sayers from literally the moment I came out of the womb. And, you know, I did Hamp and OB forever, and I would talk to OB about it. He's like, those two are on the team. I know who's starting, and he's talking about 40, not 34. So I get it. Walter's got him, but it's, I think it is a great testament to how good Gale was, and it's still a bummer the way that he was, you know, that he got hurt.
It's just such a short time. And I think that matters. You know, I think you could even have the same conversation about Derrick Rose, where he's kind of the basketball equivalent of Gale Sayers, where he was just unbelievable. Haven't seen talent like this since forever. And then the injuries happen, and he's a different guy.
Right.
Sayers, it was just over. Yeah. Derrick Rose turns into this kind of, like, man off the bench, kind of, you know, contributor but not superstar. But for that short span, Derrick Rose was A1, and if he played his whole career at that level or close to it, he could be in the top three, top four.
Right. So I do want to ask you this question. Does any city have a better 1-2 punch than Michael Jordan and Walter Payton?
New York.
Who's
Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth is your one, and then Mickey Mantle 2, Mark Messier 2, Patrick Ewing. Football? Any?
Everyone that you just Eli mentioned on the other side of Babe
Jeremy
Ruth.
Jeremy Shockey, my friend.
Like Lawrence Taylor is one of the best.
Wayne Corbett. I don't think New York's in there because, like, you just couldn't land on a number two.
You
right
just
now.
Have, but you have the
LT's.
LT.
One of the best linebackers of all time.
So I think the answer is Boston, Tom Brady and Bill Russell.
Yeah.
Or Bill Russell and Tom Brady, whichever order you want to do them.
If you count Anaheim as L.A., which the Los Angeles Anaheim Angels do, Shohei Ohtani's probably up there as a number one.
Ooh.
And he is going to be one of the best players, if not the best player of all time in baseball when he finishes. I understand he's got a UCL tear, but he's better than Babe Ruth is already.
Cleveland has LeBron and Jim Brown.
You know, I still sleep with a Michael Jordan doll, so this is hard for me to, like, Jordan and anyone to me is like, we're winning. But, like, I was looking at it, like, who was the consensus greatest player in their game for the longest? If you go to Cleveland, LeBron and Brown, well, Jim Brown was his entire football career.
Yeah.
But LeBron, it's more so on the back end. Like, you could easily have argued Kobe for many years, and now he's probably finally fallen back out of it. So I still think we have it, but it's awful tight.
San Francisco, Joe Montana and either Barry Bonds or Steph Curry.
I mean,
I think I would do Curry, Bonds, Montana. I don't think, and I'm a Notre Dame fan, but Joe Montana was a good quarterback on great teams. You know,
Chicago in front of San Francisco is what you're saying.
It's hard to beat the best of all time, considered the best of all time, not just in basketball, in pro sports.
Yeah.
And then Walter Payton, who they have a Man of the Year award in the NFL named after him, and was the leading rusher when he left the game and had got broke by Emmitt Smith eventually. But consensus, if you ask most people, you say Walter Payton's probably the best running back of all time.
Well, and with Jordan, too, there was no question, no matter which team you rooted for in the NBA, everyone knew Jordan was the best. There's always been an argument with LeBron or Kobe or LeBron and Steph, whatever. There's also a whole nation of people that hate LeBron just because he was hyped and totally lived up to that hype, but they just hated the hype before he played, so they immediately dismissed him as anything. Jordan was always unanimous, and anyone who said he wasn't was lying.
Right.
They were lying. Oh, no, Karl Malone's better, really? Like, if you look back at that now, who would ever say that? Nobody. He was, hands down, the consensus best athlete on the planet for the bulk of his career nationwide. And that's unprecedented.
That's, when you look at it that way, the Russell and Brady thing, which is awful impressive. But who's better, Russell or Chamberlain? You're probably going to take Russell, but as far as pure talent, I mean, Will Chamberlain's above him. There's no 50 points a game, 25 rebounds a night.
Right.
Guy's the most, you know, I don't know, top three athlete of all time, running track and everything else that he did. Like, I mean, Will Chamberlain was completely insane. Now, mentally different than Russell and greatest winners of all time. Greatest winners of all time, Boston's got it.
Different list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Damn you, Boston. Well, I'm glad that we did get easy choices at the top of the list because it was not easy the rest of the way. Should we just jump in right now? Lawrence has on screen our consensus. what we kind of came up with from our balloting. Now, as I alluded to before, this is not the final. This is the guide we're going to work off of because, frankly, some of our coworkers had some weird choices.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name names. Somebody put Willie Gault on there.
Wow.
And that's fine. Like, that's your opinion. But a vote for Willie Gault takes away points from somebody else, right? Well, somebody left every Blackhawk off, which, okay, fine, that's your thing. But that ballot came in late. And, I mean, just to kind of, like, you know, say this, okay, before this came in, Patrick Kane was number three. And then when that ballot came in, it kind of reordered things. And if that's the way it works out, fine. But we're going to have to do some moving around here. So
yeah.
How do you guys exactly want to go about eating this apple, I guess?
In terms of adjusting
Should we start with number three? Do you want to look at this list of 25 right now and get rid of the people we don't think should be on there and then go from there?
I think in looking at that list, I couldn't have an argument for any of these people who are on the list that should not be on the list.
I got a couple.
If you're listening to the podcast, make sure you check it out on YouTube because we are doing this a little bit visually. We'll try to keep people up to date as much as we can. I'll say one thing right now. We have Dennis Rodman listed at 23. I do not think Dennis Rodman is a top 25 all-time Chicago athlete.
I agree with you. To me, he's still a Piston. He was phenomenal in 96, but he was – and he contributed in 97 and 98, but he wasn't near the
all-time
peak.
Character, yes. All-time athlete. Could they have still won those without Dennis Rodman?
Well, they did. They won three without him.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah, but that was like Horace Grant. He played the Horace Grant role. Yeah.
Okay, so why is Horace Grant
and rebounding.
Right. Which is why I think you can argue that between Horace and Dennis, Horace belongs on that list more. He was here for longer. They won three with him.
We're not putting Horace Grant. Horace Grant didn't receive a single vote.
I understand he's not making it, yeah. but Horace blocked KJ's shot. Horace kicked it out to Pax. Horace guarded the best player on the team. Often.
Move to remove Dennis Rodman. I'll say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'm fine with it.
Dennis Rodman gone.
See you later.
All right, let's look anywhere else here. Mike Ditka is listed at number 20. Didn't get a lot of mentions on there, so he's still at the bottom. Mike Ditka, to me, again, all-time Chicago character. He's probably on the Mount Rushmore of Chicago sports, just kind of for the presence that he had, yeah. Right? We could argue what happened after 1985 all we want. We know. To me, Mike Ditka, if he doesn't come back here and coach, like, we're not honoring
a
tight end from the 1960s.
Yeah, even though he's a Hall of Fame tight end, and that cannot be taken away from him, I don't think anybody in this panel, unless you guys do, feel that he is a top 25 athlete, because I don't think any of us saw him play at all in his professional career. It was great, but also he went down to Dallas, too, and did some damage.
And that's the thing about our list. I mean, there's a lot of younger people who live here or who work here. So there's a lot of recency bias in this. This is not a list for players who are really played after 1960. I know I voted for Luke Appling and Louis Aparicio. I'm not probably going to get them. I win any arguments to get on this list. But I think if you actually do look at the numbers, both of those guys probably do belong. All right, so we're getting rid of Mike Ditka.
I would say get rid of Ditka,
Gotch, if this was a full contribution to the city, you're here, but it's not, so you're out.
Right, if it was Chicago icons, he's up there for sure. But like in terms
top,
of athletes,
five.
Nah.
Easy.
I have issue with Mike Singletary. I think he is hugely, massively overrated. He played behind probably the best defensive line of all time.
Yep.
With Hampton, Dent, soon-to-be Hall of Famer, Steve McMichael.
Okay.
The Fridge, who's probably a little bit overrated, but was certainly another icon. He was just picking up the scraps of what got through that defensive line somehow. Not a bad player, but the White Sox players you just named, just the Sox alone I would put above Mike Singletary.
Two-time Defensive Player of the Year, Hall of Famer.
It's reputation. I'm telling you, I don't think he was as strong of a player as he gets credit for. And
now, I came in here saying there's no way we should put Urlacher in front of Singletary.
Oh, my God.
So this is
absolutely
interesting.
Yes.
Yes, Urlacher way ahead of Singletary.
Way ahead.
Look at the teammates that they had together.
I would completely agree with Jay on this, and I would also submit in the Singletary argument, if you go back in time, in 84 and in 85, when that defense was elite, they had Wilbur Marshall, and then they decided not to pay Wilbur, and he left, and the defense wasn't the same. Yeah. Wilbur, in my opinion, was the best linebacker on that team.
You could make a similar argument with Lance Briggs, kind of the same sort of a thing that Urlacher had Briggs, and Briggs was, if he had been on a linebacker on any other team, would have been a massive superstar. But I just think Urlacher was the kind of guy who was a generationally gifted athlete.
Can we put a maybe on Singletary before we have Lawrence hit the delete button?
Drop him down to 25.
I think Lawrence, maybe he put an asterisk next to Singletary so we remember. And we're probably going to be dropping him, it sounds like, so, which I'd be fine with.
Are you going to pick at 17, too?
That's what I was
wondering. So I want to bring up Derrick Rose and Devin Hester.
Okay.
All right. Where are we at?
I don't think Derrick Rose belongs on this list, even though I did vote for him, I think, like 19th. But there's some people that I voted for that are not on the list that had much better careers in Chicago than Derrick Rose, and much better basketball careers than Derrick Rose in Chicago. So I'll be fine if he moved off. And his impact on being a Chicago athlete, I don't think goes far and wide. Like, people loved him, but then, as Jay said, he fell off the table quickly, and I don't think he had enough good basketball playing years to be on this list.
I just think if you have Sayers on there, you have to have Rose. It's just such a parallel. It's such a parallel. And I know as time goes on, the legend of Gale Sayers grows, and you know, you see the black and white grainy footage, and you hear all the old heads talking about how great he was. And it's all valid. It's true, which is why I think in 30 years, when we're talking to our grandkids about Derrick Rose, the conversation will be similar. Yeah, you know, if only he hadn't gotten hurt, he was
right.
No one could dunk. No one was faster. Like, the legend will grow and grow and grow over time. And I think that Gale Sayers has had that benefit a little bit. And I think Derrick Rose down the line will too. And when you look at this, the span of time that Derrick Rose, before he blew that ACL, he was terrific. He was one of the best players in the game.
I did not have Derrick Rose on my ballot, so I'm not going to. I mean, that speaks for itself. Do you want to keep him on here?
I'm fighting for him. He won an MVP, youngest in the history of the league. I get that is a voted upon thing, and LeBron probably deserved it. And Herb and I were discussing that beforehand. But, okay, he was second best in the league. He was third best in the league. He's way up there. Plus, that team probably wins a championship if they're not going up against the Wade, LeBron, Bosh super team. I mean, they're right there.
They're right there.
So I think Derek belongs.
If Derek stays, I would submit that we have to add Candace Parker to the list, because I think it's very similar. A prep career that was completely legendary, a better college career than Derrick Rose, which I don't know if that should count, but I mean, she is an upper crust WNBA Hall of Famer when she gets there. She got brought in to Chicago to win a championship, and they won a championship. So I am willing to keep Derrick Rose on here if we put Candace Parker onto the list.
I think she belongs on there.
I don't think she belongs on there because I think her teammate is a much better player in Chicago than she was, and that's Courtney Vandersloot. Courtney Vandersloot is the WNBA's leading assists per game ever. Second on the list in all-time assists behind Sue Bird. Yeah. So, and she did all this except for this year.
This is an interesting debate. I really think.
Yeah. This year with New York, she just went over to the second person. I think she jumped Tisha Panichero, but she's an all-time great WNBA player, and I think she should be on this list over if we're including
than
Candace Parker.
If we're kind of talking about impact, and I mean, even though she was playing for Los Angeles, I would still say between 2012 and probably 2020, Candace Parker still had a bigger profile in Chicago than Courtney Vandersloot. Does that count?
Now you go back to like the Ditka thing, really.
If we start including that, then the list changes completely.
Yeah.
You know, people with Chicago ties that had great careers, that's a whole different list.
And also, but she's not from Chicago. That's another thing. She's from Naperville. I went to school during the same time she did in the DVC. She's a Naperville Central person.
It's a loose definition. But she won a title, Jay.
I have her on the list.
She won a Chicago title.
And I think we do talk about the cultural impact. And when Candace Parker came to the Sky, a lot of folks in Chicago tuned into the Sky for the first time ever. There weren't a lot of people turning the TV on to watch Courtney Vandersloot. Right or wrong, it's the truth.
And that's my argument. Parker, that is
Candace
my argument.
When Candace Parker was here, the Sky were never bigger. And yeah, they won a championship, which helped. But she got here. Oh, she left. Right? The heat of the Sky was when the height of the Sky.
She wasn't here for a victory lap. She wasn't here on her final tank. She came in. She was hurt to start that season. They started off 0-7, 0-8. She came back. She changed that defense. That became – they were a juggernaut. They probably should have won last year. I mean, they ran out of gas.
But I would say that even in that championship year, she wasn't the best player. It was
Copper was yeah.
Kalia
great.
Copper was the best player. Yes, when she came, she's
she was
name.
The best. She was the best scorer.
Whoever's a name, Candace Parker's a name, and doing the NBA today on TNT, she knows ball, and she is a name. But I don't think her 2 years here qualifies for this list. I mean,
let me.
But how is it different than Derrick Rose then? If we're putting Derrick Rose didn't win a title. yeah.
Let me. I know this opens up a whole can of worms, but. When we look at the list, you've got Patrick Kane 5, Jonathan Toews 6, Duncan Keith 19. I will tell you that without Duncan Keith, the Hawks don't win a single championship.
Right.
Take Kane or Toews away, they have a chance. Duncan Keith was the most important person on those dynasty teams. However, when we talk about the cultural impact, we talk about the individual accomplishments, we talk about the moments, that's why Kane and Toews are ahead of him on that list. If we're talking player only, Duncan Keith is above those two, in my opinion. But that's not what we're talking about, right? Yeah. We're talking about the entire
package. They don't win
package.
Without Marian Hossa. I mean,
what?
I mean, that it's all you're opening a can of worms, but like they don't win without Marian Hossa either. Like.
We're in a lot of can of worms right now. I would just say that this is like you're talking about the top 25 players in the history of this city. That it's hard for me to say that Candace Parker belongs there as much as she's culturally relevant.
Does Courtney Vandersloot belong on it?
I personally don't think so. These are the top 25 players that have ever impacted Chicago. To me, no. But I'm not going to fight it either. If we want to include somebody who is from here and has won championships here and has a unique spot on the list, it makes sense to me.
I would say we add Parker.
I would say no.
I think we're 50-50 here because I would add her.
Ooh.
I do think it's important to acknowledge that though a sport might not be as popular, that it is still important and still has value and still impacts a lot of people. And the Sky are not as popular as the White Sox or Cubs or Bulls or Hawks or Bears, of course. But they're still professional athletes. They still go out there and accomplish what they accomplished. So I had Jenny
and she's
on
an all-time
list.
Great. And she won a title here. And she's from the area. We're putting Candace Parker on. I'm pulling rank.
There
here.
It is. Pulling rank. Like it. Where's Carl Heinzen?
We're not talking about soccer.
Where's Mark Aguirre? Somebody should get a demon on here.
No DePaul players.
Greater.
All right, we're gonna get into the guts of this as we go on here. But first, I want to tell you about Sunnyside. Sunnyside is your home for judgment-free cannabis shopping. It is a place where all kinds of visitors are welcome to explore, discover, and purchase a wide array of high-quality products. Sunnyside has everything you need to elevate your summer. It is a one-stop shop for all your cannabis needs, no matter where you are on your cannabis journey. They offer easy online ordering and in-store pickup and a great transparent loyalty program called Sunnyside Rewards. It is Chicago's and Illinois' favorite dispensary. They also offer the House of Brands, like Mindy's, the best tasting gummy and chocolate edibles created by James Beard award-winning chef Mindy Siegel in conjunction with Cresco Labs. And there's also That Good News brand, which is gummies, rechargeable vape pens, and carts, perfect for great moments with the crew. Make sure you check out the Wrigleyville Sunnyside. I went down to Bruce Springsteen a couple weeks ago, went down to the Cubs thing. Sunnyside was hopping.
I bet it was.
Anyway, through August, head to sunnyside.shop and use code CHGO25 at checkout for 25% off your total order. One use per customer, not stackable with other promotions. And that's not only for new customers. Anyone can use that code. Pick up everything you need to elevate your summer. Must be 21 plus or an Illinois MedCard holder.
Also hopping is Ray Chevy Dodge Jeep and Ram. Are you in the market for a new vehicle? If you are, we've got some great news for you. Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Fox Lake. They are now a part of the CHGO team at Ray CDJR. You'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories and find unforgettable savings. Right now, during the Make This Summer event at Ray CDJR in Fox Lake, you'll be able to take up to 20% off MSRP on selected new 2023 Rams and Ram 1500 models. And yes, interest rates are a little higher right now. That's not the case at Ray, because now through August 31st, you'll be able to get limited time financing, 0% for 72 months on selected new models. So if you're in the market for a new vehicle, you got to check out the team at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, because they're the only team that we recommend. Visit them today on Route 12 in Fox Lake. For more information, visit Ray CDJR, only in Fox Lake, or RayCDJR.com today. Serving the community since 1963.
All right, back to the top 25 all-time Chicago athletes. We have decided Michael Jordan is number one. Walter Payton is number two. We booted Dennis Rodman. We booted Mike Ditka. Mike Singletary's on probation. Candace Parker's in. We haven't debated Devin Hester, but let's get to number three. Let's just start working down here. We gotta start shoveling some coal into this engine. Number three, I think, is a debate between Frank Thomas, Scottie Pippen, Patrick Kane, and Gale Sayers. I'm gonna break you down some of the voting totals. Ernie Banks and Patrick Kane each received five number three votes. Scottie Pippen got three. Frank Thomas got two. Jonathan Taves got two. Mike Ditka got one. He's gone. Walter Payton got one, and Gale Sayers got one. So you guys feel strongly about one guy in that number three spot?
Not strongly, but Frank Thomas is going to go down, and it has gone down, as one of the greatest right-handed hitters, if not the greatest right-handed hitters in our time. The numbers he put up on this bad organization are just astronomical. He's the only player, I believe, in his first 7 years of playing to have 100 RBIs, 100 runs scored, 100 walks. He's one of one when it comes to being a power hitter slash on-base guy. Like, he was the ultimate hitter back in the 90s. The shoes he had back in the day, everybody used to rock those. Frank Thomas baseball was a big thing.
Candy bar.
Like, yeah, the candy bar. Like, the man was an icon in the 90s. And where the actual White Sox cap with the Hall of the Hip Hop 50 celebration going on in the documentary. Mm-hmm. Frank Thomas was a big part of that. He made the SOX cool, like playing that well and being representing the SOX on his hat made that cool. Cultural icon. And Patrick Kane is the greatest North American born player, probably, right? But Frank Thomas, for that period of time, was a superstar. And I think Patrick Kane is, but also there's other things that preclude me from putting him at three over Thomas.
I had Thomas number three as well. Two-time MVP. Should have won in 2000, except Jason Giambi was roided up.
That's a huge point.
Could have won in 2006 again, and I realized I was with Oakland. But, I mean, it just kind of shows you what kind of player he was. In a steroid era, no ties whatsoever to performance-enhancing drugs. When Frank Thomas stepped to the plate at Comiskey Park in the 90s, everyone in that place just stopped and watched. And to see that guy looming over a curveball was just amazing. So I have Frank Thomas number three. I'm open to arguments, but I feel like we're good here with number
three. You
know what?
Three. I'm looking at my list here. I have him too low. I ranked him at 11, and I had not considered the steroid era he played in, where he was overshadowed by a bunch of dudes who were like, I need to catch up to him and be better than Frank. And we saw what happened when Barry Bonds saw that happening, where Bonds was such a great player, and he saw these guys like, these guys are bums and are beating me? All right, time to even the playing field and just destroyed everybody. Mm-hmm. Frank did it, as far as we know, as far as we believe, clean. And I think that's something that certainly matters. I will say, too, I think the way Frank acted during his career, including saying we don't need the fans during the during the strike or whatever,
hurt him.
That hurt him a lot. Like, and look, be yourself. If you're a surly SOB and that's what you need to do to become the greatest right-hander, right-handed hitter of your generation, cool. But I think his attitude rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. When he could have been the dude in this town, his attitude prevented that. And had he been a little more gregarious, a little more friendly, a little less prickly.
What he is now as a member of the media.
Exactly. Yeah. Selling those Nugenics.
I will say that at the point he was, Chicago was kind of ruled by a certain columnist who shall not be named that I think did further a lot of that, maybe more than it deserved.
I agree. But I think Frank had the opportunity to make the Sox the team in Chicago.
They were.
There was a shot.
Yeah.
And it could have lasted. But I think he kind of blew that opportunity. Look, it's far be it for me to tell anybody how to act, let alone a black man by any means, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but I just think that his attitude hurts him a little bit overall. But I think him, the third overall, that argument's certainly there. The only thing I would, the only reason I would argue Patrick Kane or whichever Blackhawk you want to say, most people say Kane, is three championships, right? And look, Kane did a lot of stuff way worse, allegedly, than Frank Thomas did. Even if we leave out the sexual assault thing, you still had the incidents in Madison. You still had the cab driver thing. Those are proven. Those are documented. Those things happened. Frank never did anything like that. He was a little bit frosty sometimes. That's it. Kane did many worse things than him, but when you look at three championships, I know Frank was technically part of the World Series.
Not to take aim at Frank Thomas, though. I would say that there's a lot of these guys who played before social media that might have, you know, landed in a few more things.
You could pretty much eliminate every 85 Bear and every 90s, every 90s Blackhawk ever.
Right. I mean, so not to defend Kane or whatever, but I think, like, if we get into that, it gets a little weird.
I'll just give a pushback, and I don't even, like, any choice here to me is fine. I had Kane there, but there's one guy on there that won six titles. There's one guy on there that is widely considered a top 25 player to ever play his sport. Yes, he played with Mike, and I don't think Scotty would have ever gotten to the level that he did without him, but he did get there. And when you think about guys that you want on your team and on any basketball team, Scottie Pippen is right at the top because he literally does everything. So if I was to say, like, who's a better player? I mean, Frank Thomas hit a ground ball to him. I think it's going into right field. Yeah. So I think you can make an argument for Pippen.
So I think our top five. I think we know what our top five looks like. It's Jordan, Payton, Thomas. Well, I don't know. Pippen, Kane, and then you got we had Banks all the way down at number eight, and I think he got hurt.
Ernie's getting slighted here.
A couple people. I think Ernie, like, his
Ernie needs to be in the top.
Ernie
five.
Needs to be higher because I think he compares pretty favorably to Frank Thomas.
I have Ernie
two-time MVP.
Yeah, I have him as three, but I think him at four. It
face of the franchise,
sense.
You know, forever probably.
I think they hit about the same amount of home runs, if not the same exact amount. I know it's 500 for 20, 521 for Frank. I think Ernie's around there. 512.
So
512 for Ernie.
Would we be
a shortstop?
My problem with Kane is
Chicago. Ernie Banks played his whole career in Chicago. First black Cub. Like, these things they're significant.
Back to back MVP.
You want to put Ernie at three? He did get five third place votes.
I don't think anybody considers Ernie Banks one of the greatest right-handed hitters of his time. Frank Thomas is there. Like, they're there. Like, yes, Ernie did it, and that's a big-time thing in the 60s. But I don't think anybody says the things about Ernie that they say about Frank.
I'll tell you one thing. If there's one person who thinks that Frank Thomas should be three and maybe even two, it's Frank Thomas.
Let's get him in. All right, so let's put Frank Thomas at three.
I think you got to put Banks at four, though.
And then Pippen at five?
I think you put Kane five.
Kane's won an MVP. He won a Conn Smythe Trophy for playoff MVP. I don't think Scotty.
Yeah, I think we're going to sway here by
Carl. That. Well, you know, Scotty was second fiddle to Michael. Well, Patrick Kane was second. You know, could have been second fiddle to a lot of people on that team. There's a lot of Hall of Famers coming out of that Hawks class, but he was, in most people's eyes, the guy on that team. So I would go Jordan, Payton. I would say Ernie, Frank, and Kane. That would be my top five.
And Scotty had his chance without Jordan to do better and to be great.
Fair.
He did win the All-Star MVP, but Tony Kukoc, the 1.8, sitting out hurts him in my view. They didn't win that series with the New York Knicks. They could have. Scottie Pippen was the leader of that team, and they didn't win it. So I would say top five, but not ahead of Patrick Kane.
I think we're talking top six.
Yeah, I think he's out of the top five. That's a very fair push.
I would say let's go Jordan, Payton, Thomas, Banks, Kane, Pippen.
I'm good with that.
Yep. Because Frank Thomas did end up being like consensus number three. We're pulling rank and moving Ernie Banks up, deservedly so. Okay. So then that puts us – then we're looking – and as I approached this exercise, I really felt like there was 12 to 13 guys in Chicago sports history that were just those upper crust, inner ring Hall of Famers. And so the next wave would be Gale Sayers, Dick Butkus, Stan Mikita, Bobby Hall, Ryan Sandberg.
Well, Jonathan Toews was just
Jonathan
off
Toews.
The
and Jonathan Toews.
So you'd be in right now. Just there was a lot of
me. Let me just make. I know I'm biased, but let me make my case for Jonathan Toews. There was a 4 or 5 year period in hockey where he was maybe the best all around player in the game. Where NHL GMs were polled and said, if you could start a franchise with either Sidney Crosby or Jonathan Toews, who would you choose? And the bulk of them chose Toews.
I have no problem with Toews with six and Pippen
with
seven.
But isn't Scottie Pippen basketball Jonathan Toews?
I don't think he has
great
the same
great
temperament.
Two-way player.
I think people don't look for Scotty for leadership, and I think Toews is the embodiment of leadership, you know, sans the Kyle Beach stuff. But on the ice, the man was the leader, just the captain, old captain.
Six
my captain.
Titles versus three. And I love Jonathan Toews is my second favorite player in Chicago history.
Another playoff MVP, Jonathan Toews.
Toews played with Jordan. If Toews played with Jordan, he'd have 10.
So you guys, all right. Let Toews at number six then. Pippen slides a seven?
I don't know how you put Pippen ahead of Sayers. I know it's short.
Pippen played longer. He pretty much created the point forward position.
Dude, if we slide Pippen any longer, he's going to show up here in our office.
We won't be able to buy any of his whiskey.
I don't think you can do that anymore, even if you want to.
Chris Chelios has plenty of tequila for you.
Probably.
I guess Toews is number six. I think Pippen is in front of Sayers.
I would agree.
Although I'm not going to fight you on that.
We're getting into some Scottie Pippen hate,
and
which kind of gives
and
him
got
the
Sayers
inferiority complex that he
I think
has.
Our top eight is pretty much fixed then. If you have Pippen seven and then Gale Sayers eight.
And then Dick Butkus at number nine and Stan Mikita at 10.
And those two guys, eight and nine, drafted the same year, I believe, and never saw the postseason. Just amazing how you have two greats, all-time greats at their positions, and that's how bad the Bears were.
It's like the Angels.
They did not make the playoffs at all.
Butkus is getting slighted a little bit here. The premier linebacker of his time.
It's hard, though, because, again, it's all the grainy, legendary, like, was he actually? I mean,
I've always had the hardest time knowing what Butkus was because, yeah, he's got great Sports Illustrated photos. He's a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
Illinois guy.
He murders people.
Chicago
on the field,
Bears
yes.
guy.
Like,
but to me, it's like, okay. The NFL wasn't what it is. You know what I mean?
I'm
like,
not saying no. I just don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. So I can't make a –
I think nine to me seems fine.
He took over for another great Chicago athlete, Reggie Theus, in hang time.
I wanted to put Reggie on this list for the record.
Yeah.
And Quentin Daly. Keep going.
So Stan Mikita at 10.
I think that's fine. I had Stan Mikita as my number one Hawk because he's still the franchise leader in points and games played and all those things. And truly an innovator of the sport. Is the first guy to ever curve his stick, which completely revolutionized hockey. I know it was a long-ass time ago, but he's the first guy to discover, wait a minute, if I curve my stick, my shot's a lot harder. Now everybody in the league curves their stick. The league has rules that regulate how curved it can be. and a guy who completely reinvented his career from a guy who started his career as a big penalty minutes guy to a multiple-time Lady Byng Award winner, Stanley Cup champion. And when you look back, we just talked about, hey, if there was social media back then, you don't hear a bad word about Stan Mikita at all. From his playing days to the day he passed away, everyone talks about Stan Mikita the same way.
22 seasons with the Blackhawks is crazy.
Only a Blackhawk.
The Blackhawks, though, it's so, like, I think you could make a case for any of the four, Kane, Taze, Mikita, or Hall, being the number one Hawk of all time, which is really incredible.
Yeah.
Because all four of those guys, they're all four on the NHL's 100th all anniversary team.
Yep.
Man. And then, like, that's not even bringing Duncan Keith into the conversation. Like, it's...
And he had Donut Shop. It was excellent.
Keith is also on the top 100 list, for the record.
Keith is. That's right. Yeah. Isn't Savard? Savard?
I believe
so. Savard on this list?
Savoir-faire
should be on this list.
I don't know if he's going to make it.
Savoir-faire, come on. 18. Yeah.
Savard,
let's go.
Was on the 100 greatest players, too. Yes, he
but
was.
But also, yeah, he had a great Hawks career, but he also had a great Canadiens career. So, like, he's a Hall of Famer, but is he his Blackhawks career top 25 worthy?
A lot of people he has to get past.
I got to defer to Jay on this, but I think Dennis Savard was the guy for growing up. The 80s, Savard.
Yeah. No doubt. There's no doubt about it. It's just a matter of this is where championships come into play, yeah. And he didn't win one here. So you talk about him and Steve Larmer, all these greats that played in the 80s.
Jeremy Roenick. Chris Chelios.
I think it was Chelios on here? No.
No.
He was on mine. He deserves to be. But that's a different story.
A lot of Hawks.
Titles make the difference, though. And the inability for him to win one, that hurts him. He won one in Montreal, but not in Chicago. So I think as much as you could argue, you look at the numbers – he should be there. You also have to keep in mind the era in which he played. And when he was putting up 100 points, Wayne Gretzky was putting up 200 points. So, points were not as meaningful back then as they are now. I love Dennis Savard. Great player. And he would thrive in today's game. But top
probably
25 of
here,
all time, I think he's top 30.
We're going to get to positions 11 through 25, finish this off. But first, I want to say we are so excited to partner with our friends at Circle K. Check out your local Circle K for the best coffee, beer, and snack selection and that premium gas. Look out for freebies and giveaways also down the road. Circle K has your favorite road trip snacks. They've got great deals. They are your go-to pickups, and there's tons of great locations around. Basically, anywhere you go, it almost seems like there's a Circle K. Again, thanks to Circle K for sponsoring CHGO. Visit the nearest Circle K to pick up all your favorite finds.
Buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over tickets and start getting hyped for the fun that you will have. If you guys watch the CHGO White Sox show, I talk about this all the time. Last year, about this time, we went to Atlanta to check out that Truist Field, looking for tickets, and Game Time hooked it up. And then I went to, the 110% guarantee. I was like, sometimes these companies, they talk a big talk, but I don't think they really mean what they mean. And so I went to all the secondary ticketing sites and found one of those sites that had a better deal in the row in the section on the day that I was there. So I sent this screenshot to Game Time. Game Time got me my money within 12 minutes.
Wow.
12 minutes of me sending it. That's a really true story, folks. And they gave me 110% of the difference. I used that credit to go to a White Sox game later on that season with my two partners on CHGO White Sox, Steven, our producer, and Sean Anderson. Game Time is a place for last-minute ticket deals. Forget planning months ahead. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, theater, comedy, and more. Game Time guarantee means that you'll always get the best price. And just like I was saying, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference if you find tickets in the same section and row for less. It's the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. Get images of your seat before you buy so you know exactly where you're expected to sit, especially if you go to Wrigley. You might be sitting behind a post, so know where you're sitting with Game Time. Buying tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps, and you're all set. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the app, create an account, and use the code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices, guaranteed.
Oh, I'd like to buy tickets to see some of these guys that we're talking about today.
Oh.
We're lucky to have seen a lot of these. You know,
even like now, if Michael Jordan plays today, I'm going to see him play.
Right. But, I mean, there's people in this building who are still in their early 20s, and it's like they missed out on a lot of this stuff. And yep. I do feel bad because being alive for for Michael Jordan and Walter Payton was awesome. And I wish I had been alive to see Bobby Hall and Stan Mikita in their prime and Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers.
I think if I had a time machine, I'd go back to the 60s and go to a Hawks and a Bears game.
Yeah, on a Sunday.
Check it out, you know?
It's interesting to think about it that way. Like, the thing I miss most that we don't have right now is Chicago Stadium. Like, I, more so than going back and watching anything, I just would like to go back and walk into that building.
Most people would go back to the time of Christ. Jason Woski would go to a Bears Blackhawks.
Same thing, my friend.
Header.
I mean, think about how many people are watching or listening to the show that have never stepped foot in Chicago Stadium.
Yeah.
Well, one of them's right here, but I was alive at the time. I just didn't have money to go there.
Damn.
It was the greatest.
I was a child.
All right, we have our top 10 in place. Consensus number 11 was Sammy Sosa, followed by Brian Urlacher, Bobby Hall, Ryan Sandberg, Derrick Rose, Mike Singletary, Devin Hester, Billy Williams, Duncan Keith, and we've got a blank spot. I'm going to right off the bat and say we need to move Ryan Sandberg up a couple of spots. I don't think he's the 14th best athlete. I think he's probably a little higher. I certainly want to put Ryan Sandberg in front of Sammy Sosa, specifically because he just did it right.
I think despite Sammy Sosa's steroids thing, which was found out after his playing career, even though us White Sox fans told you what Cub fans that he was doing steroids at the time.
We knew.
But you didn't care. You care now. Cubs are like, who's Sammy Sosa? I don't know who this guy is, especially the Ricketts. But that man's impact, if you look, go with yourself, look at the attendance for the Cubs when Sammy got there, and look at the steady increase. Sammy made the Cubs what they are today. The increase in crowds is because of Sammy's popularity. When they talk about baseball coming back, they talk about Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa bringing it back in 98. That impact is hard to beat. Yes, he did steroids, and so he's punished as the 11th player because the number three player that we have up there, Frank Thomas, at the same time, he was dwarfed by Sammy Sosa because Sammy Sosa was the biggest thing in sports at the time. You know, commercials, the Oscar Mayer commercial, It's So Real video game that he had out there.
Excuse me, it's Armor Hot Dogs?
Armor Hot Dogs. Niños, a las niñas.
I mean, I'll go take some Flintstone vitamins right now. Nobody ever lit up. I can't speak to the 69 Cubs and those highlights. Nice. The videos are insane of what was going on then. But Sammy. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
You're right. The punishment is having him at 11.
Yes.
Because if we're not considering steroids, he's 3.
No.
He's one. He's three, a Hall, of, he's a Hall not, of Famer.
Think about it. If steroids are a non-pick, and we just go by what he accomplished, his impact on the city, his impact on the game.
Would he have over 600 home runs, though?
But that's why he's 11.
Yeah.
That's why we're moving him down. If we were to ignore steroids or he just happened to be that good, he might be number two.
I know where you're going to go with the Bobby Hall argument, but, like, Carm, does Sammy Sosa belong in front of Bobby Hall?
Hall's fine, but I would push back on Urlacher. I would push back on Rhino.
Do you think Rhino's too high?
No.
I don't think he's too high, but I do think that, I mean, there's no question who was the better player.
To me, Sammy Sosa feels like, I guess 11 is the middle of this list, but when I was thinking of my upper crust players, Bobby Hall is in that and Ryan Sandberg is in that. So that's where I'm coming from this.
I mean, just remember, when Sammy was a young player, 5'2".
Is Sandberg an upper crust Hall of Famer?
He wasn't the first ballot Hall of Famer.
He's probably the, second or third best second baseman of all time?
Second baseman. His home runs get overvalued because he played second base.
But that's part of it, though. I mean,
he won an MVP.
Won an MVP.
Great player.
Was once the highest played player in baseball because of his great play. not sell me on Rhino. The man was great.
Go to Wrigley right now and ask people, who's your favorite Cub? Ryan Sandberg or Sammy Sosa? How many people are saying Ryan Sandberg?
More than people are saying Sammy Sosa because of the – I think Cub fans have soured on Sammy, rightfully so. The cork bat and the steroids are not great. Ryan Sandberg has been a model citizen his whole career and was one of the greatest Cubs of all time. I mean, the Sandberg game is an iconic game that people still talk about to this day.
Ryan Urlacher does not belong in front of – Hall and Sandberg.
I mean, if we're talking about class, Rhino was there. I had the privilege of interviewing him. I interviewed him in his garage. I'm leaving. He's like, hey, you want to come downstairs? He invites me into his basement. He shows me his 9 gold gloves. He shows me a letter from Harry Carey that he wrote because Carey never went into the – I mean, it was an amazing experience. Like
He knew that this day was coming where you would have to make an argument on his list.
But, I mean, look, Sosa – 60 homers 3 times.
Only player ever.
Yeah, I mean, Sosa, when he was young as a right fielder, he was a dynamic outfielder. He was a base stealer.
Do Sosa, Hall, Sandberg, Urlacher.
Sosa, Hall.
So move Hall and Sandberg in front of Urlacher, Urlacher down?
Yep.
I'll live with it.
I can live with that.
Got that, Lawrence?
Nothing against Urlacher, but again, you know, no championships.
And the same thing. I didn't see Bobby Hall play ever because he's too old. But I'm punishing him. I think I had him in 20th because of his off-the-field stuff because he was a detestable human being. So,
but that's why he's 12.
I would have him off the list totally if it was just about the person. But undeniable numbers.
But if he has Stan Mikita or Jonathan Toews' personality or reputation, he's top 5.
Yeah. Undeniable.
So I think a lot of the reason some of these guys are lower on the list is because of that very factor.
And and you could say the same about Sammy. Off the field struggles too. There.
Who's that? We got to start moving a little quickly here.
I just say Fergie's way too low.
Way too low.
We got Fergie at 24 right now.
You could tell me Fergie's above some Rhino, and I would take no issue with it.
Okay. We still have an open spot on here, and we might want to take Singletary off, which I don't agree with, but. Who gets that spot right now? We've got an empty spot on here. And some of the names that didn't get on but are close in voting, Tony Esposito, Mark Burley, Luke Appling, Sid Luckman, Joakim Noah, Chris Chelios, Minnie Minoso, Anthony Rizzo, Marian Hossa, Konerko, Lance Briggs, Artis Gilmore, Courtney Vandersloot, George Halas.
If I'm adding a person, I would add Minnie Minoso because you brought up the good point of
huge impact.
Being a first black player ever in White Sox history, doing that is a huge thing. It's absolutely gargantuan thing. And add on top of it the language barrier because he's from Cuba. So, yeah, what he did with his White Sox career and playing all the decades he did, I know later on it was just like, you know, trying to keep it alive, but still – the man was genuine. The man was good at his position. He's a Hall of Famer now. We wish he would have been, you know, recognized with, you know, while he was alive. But Minnie Minoso being in the top 20 or being in the top 25, I think is a well-deserved honor we should bestow upon him. Or just being on the list anyway. If you want to put Fergie at 20 and then Minnie at 24, I'm fine with that.
I think we push Fergie up in front of Derrick Rose. I think we push him in front of Devin Hester. I would be fine putting Fergie at
just a couple names that aren't on there. Go ahead. Where do you want to put him?
I don't know.
You said 17.
You could put him at 15 as far as
I'm
concerned.
Fergie at 7 at 16 and then put
switch Singletary and Fergie.
That works for me.
Sure.
We don't have Sid Luckman on there, who is arguably the greatest Bears quarterback of all time, sadly. We don't have Paul we don't have Paul Konerko on here.
I don't think Konerko
belongs. No, Konerko doesn't make because he's not a Hall of Famer.
If you're going to put a 2005 White Sox on here, I didn't know Frank Thomas was on that team, but if you're going to put 2005 White Sox, it's Burley. I would say right now, like, if we're going to put someone – if we're going to put another person on here, I think you almost say Burley or Esposito, and it's probably Esposito.
Esposito is every Hawks goaltending record there is.
And he's a Hall of Famer, right?
Yep.
Mark Burley, even though I want him on there, will not make the Hall of Fame.
I got to say, too, Chris Chelios won 3 Norris trophies. was the greatest born American player until Patrick Kane was born.
Yeah. Red Wing stuff disqualifies him.
He did. He played longer for the Red Wings than he did for the Hawks.
Mike McDonald was born in America.
Having Duncan Keith on there is kind of like that's the representation face. For the Blackhawks defender. I mean, Pierre Palat has a pretty good resume, too.
He's not going to get on here. Was in Mighty Ducks. He's a better American-born player than Chad.
Are we keeping Devin Hester on this list?
I would say so. The impact of Devin Hester is still felt in the NFL currently. Like, there's no one who's going to break his record because he set it so high up. And they've made rules to limit their chances to be as good as Devin Hester mostly because of the injuries. But Devin Hester changed his game. Like, with his record-breaking, 20 return touchdowns? Just phenomenal. And I know people clown on him for, you know, being the number one receiver for the Bears, but he was an actual receiver for the Bears.
It's not his fault.
Yeah, exactly. Lovey said that stuff. Yeah. But I think Devin Hester
I came in here thinking I was going to make a play to get Hester off this list. And I think he belongs. I don't think he's 17. I would say Derrick Rose and Devin Hester belong in that 21 to 25 area.
There's just no way you can have Devin Hester above Billy Williams, Duncan Keith.
No chance.
Richard Dent or Dan Hampton. I think Hampton is way too low, too.
Can we move Duncan Keith into the Derrick Rose's spot?
Yes.
I mean, you could almost make an argument for Mongo, too, for the record.
Yeah, but
Mongo was that good better, for this.
I love Dan Hampton. Mongo's got better stats.
And I think Mongo is a product of Dent, Hampton,
the other people. You ask players who played in that era, and Hampton was the guy on that defense.
I mean, Dan Hampton played all four positions to a T on the defensive line. He is one of the best players on the defensive line in Bears history.
You talk about upper crust Hall of Famers. When you look at the position of D-line, Dan Hampton's in that conversation of one of the best to ever do it. And I don't know why he never seemed to get – I think that team was just so full of personalities that he's one too, by the way. He just kind of fell through the cracks because it was Peyton and it was McMahon and it was Singletary was, you know, with the eyes. Like, there were so many in the fridge, there were so many things to sell that Hampton kind of fell through the cracks. He was kind of that no nonsense, I'm just going to kick your ass for four quarters and call it a day. I mean, I think Hampton's way too low. I don't know how you could have Hampton.
I had Hampton on mine because I just didn't think like his peak was that long. And same thing with Richard Dent.
That's the knock on Hamp is 15 knee surgeries, the back end of his career. If you look at games played, like Mongo was out there every damn week. But at his peak, Hamp had the biggest impact on that D-line. I put him ahead of Dent.
Can we pair Derrick Rose and Candace Parker since like their argument for them are very similar? Like, can we put them at like 22 and 23?
I wouldn't put Candace Parker any higher. I don't think she's on the list.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot for her.
Yeah, she's barely on the list. She's like hanging on.
I think Devin goes. I would put Devin at 24. No.
We got to put Minnie Minoso on there, Lawrence.
I think that 20 spot is a nice spot for Minnie Minoso.
We feel like Billy Williams is good at 18.
And we're thinking about culture impacts and Chicago impacts. I mean, the White Sox, no matter what you say about, you know, how the Cuban players have played, he's the start of the Cuban pipeline from the White Sox, from Cuba to the White Sox.
From Major League Baseball.
They worked out pretty well in 05,
Major
too,
League Baseball. You get Jose Abreu. You get Yoan Moncada. You get Luis Robert Jr.
When you got Duque, and you got
Duque, yeah.
Who's it? Contreras. Contreras, thank you. The other Chicago
flipping Hamp and Hester at bare minimum, I think, is a good move.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's any way you can have Hester above really any of the people.
You think Dan Hampton is 17?
No. I would. Well, if you want to make it harder, I would put...
I still think Singletary's too low, but...
I would slot Billy up a level.
I'm just thinking of, like, impact. I know Devin should go lower, but...
I'm fine with Devin Hester at 17, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't really. I mean, when you talk about in the thousands and thousands of athletes that have played for the Chicago teams, having some flexibility between four spots is not I don't take much issue with any of it. If this was the final list, I'd be pretty satisfied with it. I don't think there's any outstanding, you know, people that don't belong where they are, or anyone that's incredibly underrated on the list. I will fight to the death for Duncan Keith, but I think it's a losing battle.
You don't want to fight for Tony Esposito over...
I mean, yes, but I feel like I'm going to be the only one
fighting
that battle.
I think Tony Esposito belongs on here. We got to figure out a spot for Esposito.
He's one of the all-time great goalies, another innovator with the mask and the blocker
and
everything.
I got no problem taking Mike Singletary off for Tony Esposito.
Yeah, I think that's...
I would take Dent off in front of Singletary.
I think so, too. I would do that, too.
You would take Dent ahead of Singletary?
Yes. No, I would take Singletary ahead of Dent.
I would go the opposite. I would take Dent over Singletary. I mean,
I would put
the only Super Bowl the Bears won, he was the MVP.
I would say I would put Esposito 22, Dent 24, and Singletary off. That's what I'm saying.
Iron Mike.
Lawrence, again, you think Singletary's
we're
off?
We're picking Nit.
Okay. Just because he was in here talking to us.
No, man, Richard Dent's had some of the greatest games in NFL history getting to the quarterback.
Man, Mike Singletary has got a... he was like...
It was a precipitous fall.
Comfortably in the list, and now he's off the list.
I like it.
Tony Esposito.
Tonio.
All right, I can live with it.
I think that's a pretty...
That's a pretty good list.
I don't think there's any massive arguments on there. I mean, you'll have people argue Frank versus Ernie, which I get. But, again, that's a coin flip. I think, not to be that guy, but the Cubs in the city are a more important or highlighted team.
There's more Cub fans. Cub fans than the White Sox fans.
If you showed 100 Americans a picture of Ernie Banks and Frank Thomas, do you think more would know Ernie?
I don't think so. More people would know Frank.
What's interesting, too, about our conversation, nobody pushed on Santo, which I enjoy because he's Ron Damn-ass Santo.
Santo and Billy Williams are just kind of right where they belong to be.
Yeah.
I don't love that Luke Appling isn't on here. I think Luke Appling is really a victim of having played 80 years ago, 90 years ago, whatever it is. So you look at Luke Appling. Luke Appling might be the most underrated Chicago athlete of all time. Like nobody.
Sorry, Luke Appling.
That sounds like a list for next year.
There we go.
He's on the list for next year.
Just going over this real quick. Number one, Michael Jordan, Walter Payton, Frank Thomas, Ernie Banks, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Scottie Pippen, Gale Sayers, Dick Butkus, Stan Mikita, Sammy Sosa, Bobby Hall, Ryan Sandberg, Brian Urlacher, Duncan Keith, Fergie Jenkins, Devin Hester, Billy Williams, Derek Rose, Minnie Minoso, Ron Santo, Tony Esposito, Dan Hampton, Richard Dent, and Candace Parker. Those are your top 25 all-time Chicago athletes. It's a bit of fun exercise. Thank you for checking us out on CHGO Ranks on social media all week long. It was a lot of fun.
The only danger we have right now is if Hamp and Dent see that Devin Hester are above them. They're going to both come in here and kill us.
And Scottie Pippen, too. So, all right.
Great job. That was fun.
Thanks for joining us, guys. That was a lot of fun. I wish we had another hour to do this, but we don't.
Can I just put a little shout-out on the one person who voted for one person? Jenny Finch, 35-8 with a 1.11 ERA.
For the Chicago Bandits.
You think Chicago, yep. You think Jenny Finch.
Just saying.
I'll go one controversial guy. Great high school player. Phenomenal. In a little bit of trouble lately. My guy, Pat Fitzgerald. Let's go.
No.
We didn't do college athletes.
No.
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 I'd rather have Darnell Autry. Yeah.
We got to cut it. Thanks for joining us. The CHGO podcast presented by Goose Island. We'll see you next time.